Hello and welcome back to the Dual Screens podcast. Joining us this week is the man, the myth, the legend, one of my favorite guests to ever come on the show. He makes me a little nervous about my appearance. Like, actually, I was all like Grizzly Adams before recording today. I was like full bearded out, no haircut in about 2 months. I was like, it's Matthew coming on the show. I got to shave. I got to take a shower, brush my teeth to look acceptable.
And you know what? I appreciate it.
You should. You should.
It shows you're glowing.
So joining us this week is Matthew Coates from, he's the game director on Dead by Daylight and the product evangelist at Behavior Interactive. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. How's it going today? Always a pleasure to join you. I'm very good. Thank you. It's a wonderful cold and rainy morning here in Montreal. I don't care. I'm happy.
Well, for those who are new here at the Dual Screens podcast, this is the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably.
Okay.
That is correct.
You haven't checked the actual data, but your confidence is, making up.
I think if I can go by how our world leaders act, I can just say things and that makes them true.
Okay.
So that's how things go in the world today.
It's certainly number one in my heart.
Right. Oh, well, see, I just got fact checked live on the podcast. So now it's a true thing. For those who are new here, this is a show where we invite developers, programmers, voice actors, and the occasional product evangelist to come on the show and talk about their product and their game and all that fun stuff. So let's just dive right into this, Matthew. I do want to touch on a few things before we get into the whole Realm Beyond update for Dead by Daylight. I think that's the biggest chunk of our conversation here. But I do want to say the mobile version of the game now has surpassed 10 million downloads.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Don't get me wrong.
We had a good idea that it was going to be popular. We thought people would be interested. But it's impressive. It's been going well. We're happy with that.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes along with DBD as a whole. Like, not expecting that level of huge success. Like, when the game first came out, I was like, this is going to be a hit. But I think it's going to find a nice, comfy audience. But it was like an explosion. Like
I can tell you that on the launch day of Dead by Daylight in 2016, we were really hoping like a break even would be great. Like if we were able to get like 300,000-400,000 people excited about the game over our 6 to 12 months period, we'd be like, yeah, we've made it. That happened like within weeks. It was it was kind of crazy. Since then, obviously, it's grown into a monster of gargantuan proportions. We have a big team. I mean, we shipped with 30 people. There's now over 300 people working on DBD. It's a hungry beast, and we keep feeding it. It's super cool, but it's insane. You're absolutely right. It's insane.
Yeah, I think it really shows how we should approach a lot of games today, where if you want it to have support and content, you need to have a fan base that's going to keep cheerleading for you in the background. And it allows you to develop all these updates year after year for the platform. Yeah,
there's a term now in the games industry called games as a service, which is now a big thing, which didn't exist literally like 10 years ago. Not really. Yeah. There were a couple of games that were live, but most of the games were just you burn it on a CD and then ship it and then move on to the next project. That's still a format that exists. There are some games out there that are a one-off, and that's fine. That's absolutely great. But that's certainly not the business we're in. We created a spark of something awesome, and then we've kept growing it and essentially building it with the community as it go along. So it's a collaboration, really. It's one of the things that we said very early on, actually, in the very first interviews we had. I remember with Dave, we were talking about the fact that the game, as soon as we launched it, it's not ours anymore. It's not just ours, at least. It becomes something that we own in collaboration with the rest of the community, and that we have to build in collaboration with them, or else it's not going to work. And I think we've shown that we've done that.
Yeah, at the very least with your game, it launched as a very full game with a lot of features and characters, and then it just, the success is what made it go even further. Unlike other games of service, which they launch kind of bare bones, and it's like, well, if this can find an audience, we can maybe hobble together something of a game further. Like, it's early access, guys.
It was a complete offering, but it was very, very small. We went to the core of what we thought the experience was. Mm-hmm. It was the chase. There were only a couple of killers, a couple of survivors. There were very, very few variations in the map, not like you see today. Mm-hmm. And there were not that many helping features. We didn't have an in-game store. We didn't have archives. Right. Killers couldn't kick generators back down. There's so many of these features that today are part of the core of Dead by Daylight that weren't there before. But the basic hide and seek, an absolutely powerful killer, absolutely powerless people trying to outwit them, that was there. The basis was there.
So speaking about what you've been able to do with a successful game, Silent Hill is now part of Dead by Daylight. And that's, as a huge fan,
crazy,
right?
I think that's the proper technical term, actually.
Like, I lost my fucking mind when I saw this.
Me too. But I had to do it silently in a corner and not let anybody see me.
Silently?
This guy.
So you were looking through the fog, basically, and you knew what was going to happen. You were just waiting for the right time.
It's crazy. Just being able to do something with... I mean, we've been dealing with Legends of Horror for since Halloween came in. I mean, it was a big deal. And all of these licenses that we've introduced in the game, they stand proudly next to each other as Legends of Horror. All of them. They have their place there. But Silent Hill is unique in that it's the video game horror world. And that's it. It was a huge deal for us. It was a huge accolade from essentially our peers, which is great. It's amazing. The feeling was, it's quite sweet.
Was that always part of the conversation? Like, at some point you would move into video game horror icons as opposed to focusing on more of the movie-centric?
I wish I could tell you that we had this grand plan that spans decades and the
future.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, totally fine. I mean, my little guy is being quiet over here, so
we are being attacked by a delivery person, which is the worst possible kind of threat we could have.
This is why live shows are the best shows, because like this happens to go down every now and then, and we appreciate it.
Saw the black cat pass by.
Oh, there you go. That's
never happens.
In time for Halloween, so that's great.
All right. So I was saying, I wish I could tell you we have a grand plan. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a grand plan. We have more of a plan now, but that's the thing. At the beginning, we had no clue, and we were hoping, we left room for a lot of really cool things in there, but there was no grand plan. And if you had told me in 2016 that one day we'd be able to talk to the people that own Silent Hill and they'd be eager to collaborate with us on something, I would have called you crazy. But it happened. It's amazing. Imagine what the next surprise is going to be.
You see, now you're getting me too excited for 10 o'clock in the morning, Matthew. I feel like I've got to come down a little bit.
Like, we have to raise the bar again.
You do. Like, and the thing is, like, how do you outdo a Pyramid Head? I feel like you can slow tease, like you do a few horror icons from gaming first. Like, okay, we'll do like Scissorman from Clock Tower, like things that have a fan base, but okay, we can appreciate. But you went in hard.
Like, at this point, we sort of build. Yeah, we're stuck with it. We're the Hall of Fame of horror.
Right. Now. And now you've set the bar for yourselves. Like, well,
we can't just invite the Mr. Scary, creepy neighbor. Doesn't work.
So I do want to thank you for bringing back Silent Hill into the conversation again, because I'm a huge fan of that franchise, and seeing it just go through pachinko machine after pachinko machine for years and canceled games, it's back in the spotlight. And I think the best way possible outside of an actual sequel coming out. What's the response been like?
I think that is ridiculously high praise, actually.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's true.
It was scary because that is true. For a lot of us, it's a license that was dormant, and it had sort of made its way into the dark recess of our soul, in the nightmares that live in the past, and it hadn't moved in a long time, and therefore anything we could do had to be not just weighted against what was, but about everything that people have dreamed about since then. So it's kind of a big deal, and I think the reception was very good. We've created a game that allows us to bring in characters and to pay our respects to these legends using our the language of the gameplay mechanics of Dead by Daylight. I was talking lately with slightly related note with the people from Netflix when we did the Demogorgon. They were excited because they say, if you want to play Stranger Things, this is the way to do it. It's not a Stranger Things game, but this is how you get your Stranger Things experience.
Right.
And it's the case for so many of these licenses, where if you want to live that fantasy, this is the way to do it.
Right. And I think one of the greatest pleasures is seeing a lot of this co-mingling of two different fan bases. Because I expected Silent Hill fans to sort of flock to DBD, as maybe I've been putting it off for a long time. But now it's like, this is my entry point into this game. But seeing all the Dead by Daylight fans now playing for the first time Silent Hill games as well was a shocker. And I'm telling you, as a fan of, again, Silent Hill, and seeing all these new fans coming over and appreciating one of these, the legendary, like a horror IP and franchise, it really puts a smile on my face. And it gives me hope that one day we'll get a new game. And I think you guys are the catalyst. If it's going to be a new game at some point,
jeez,
this is where it all begins. A lot of pressure on you guys.
Yeah, no shit, huh? but you're absolutely right. I think we did bring a couple of new generation, like maybe a younger audience to the Silent Hill who knew about it. It's funny, I have a sort of a test that I do. A good friend of mine, he's got a kid that's 17, and he plays Dead by Daylight. He's been playing since launch. I'm not responsible for having a 14-year-old play Dead by Daylight. His dad can do whatever he wants. But a kid, I talk to him on a regular basis, and I asked him when we launched Silent Hill, and I'm like, do you know who Pyramid Head is? He's 17 years old. He didn't play it on PS1. There's no way. And he's like, no, I've never played the game, but I know who Pyramid Head is. I know what Silent is. Like, it's part of the video game culture. It's common knowledge. But now he experienced it for the very first time. What the feeling, that threatening presence of the executioner and all these things. It is really cool.
And also understanding why his inclusion is such a big deal in Dead by Daylight as well.
Yeah.
Have you guys gotten, like, in terms of sales or metrics, how big this chapter has been for you compared to the ones released prior to it?
Well, we tend to not share numbers so much.
Okay.
I believe I can say something like, this was a pretty big one.
Okay.
That's decent. Yeah, Marie's giving me a thumbs up.
I think that is all I wanted to know, because again, it shows you
that
the thirst is very real for this franchise.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into Realm Beyond.
Yes.
Which, again, on the things that excite me most in the world, this thing is ranking high up there, because when you see the before and after of what this project looks like, it's sort of breathtaking. So first off, what is this project?
I'm glad this is the right moment to talk about it, because already in the game, there is a glimpse of what's to come. Like, there's a couple of these improvements that are in, and people can see the extent at which we're going to do the rest of this. You're right. It's very exciting. The thing is, I keep talking, and it's funny, because the more I do these interviews, every time we talk about, we wax nostalgic about the past, the long ago in 2016. And it's true that it now feels like a long time ago. And things have changed quite a lot. Things have changed in the way that we understand how the game is played, how to build the kind of environments and characters that are needed to look good in the game, how to make the best use of the technology. The technology has changed also. The platforms, the next consoles that are coming, and even just the way we use the engines, the upgrades, all of this. There's so many new tools and new ways for us to make the game shine that we can really do something. Mm-hmm. You could see a progression already, like between the Macmillan Estate, which was the very, very first map that we created, and then the latest maps, let's say the 3-4 last maps that we've created. There's a vast, you could see the progression, you could see the change in this and how it became much more detailed, the way also that we bring in narrative into the map. Macmillan Estate is very... It was very much built with the idea of a nightmare place that has almost no details, where you recognize the shape of the places, but they don't have a personality. They don't have a face. You're just sort of putting your own impressions in there. That was mm-hmm. that was the intent and the way it was designed. And then you move on. And I think one of the first ones that is very clearly like that is the Red Forest. When we created the Huntress, you get into that house and you see that little corner where the children were kept with the chain and the toys. And all these little corners and bits really paint a story of the place. And they continue the narrative, which is a different way of looking at it.
Right. And you have, like, again, you have the lore to sort of dictate or guide how these updates will look. Because now you have these fundamental building blocks. Okay, we've had this established lore for years. Now we can actually take this and put it in the game in ways we never thought possible. Like, again, when you guys first launched years ago.
Yeah. So that's one of the big, big parts of that rework, is being able to input that lore and that story building into the levels. But then there's the whole layer of redoing all the lighting in a way that really brings an atmosphere, a deeper atmosphere, redoing a lot of the VFX. The animations of the character. I think the animations were always good. They were part of the important bits that really helped sell the story, but we can do much better. We can put more details in there. Redoing a lot of the props. We just took a moment to check, you know, what are the props that you see the most in the game? Where are you spending most of your attention? Obviously, the gens were top of the list. You spend so much time looking at those things. And the update that the gens made such a big splash because of that, and we're going to continue doing that for everything in the game.
You know, I think people don't realize, like, this is a huge undertaking for your team to go back and update. You're talking about 4K 60 frames per second, and then down the road ray tracing as well being added into this,
and it's all of these things could have separately been a really cool improvement. But the idea was like, okay, so if we're going to do that, might as well do this. And we might as well do this too. And we might as well do this. And then so we decided to just take all of this together and put it under one big umbrella so we could talk about it as a global thing. And it's not happening all at the same time. We could have, I guess we could have potentially taken the route of saying, we're going to update the whole game, like, on the side and just set it aside to release all of it at the same time. First of all, it would have been a production nightmare, I think,
right?
Because we keep updating the game, so it needs to stay current, and we need to, I don't even want to think about it. But also because we bring out new content, new chapters, you know, we're not going to stop our cadence. There's new chapters coming, you know the frequency, it's going to happen all the time. So we needed those to reflect the new way of doing things. There's no way we could have done a crappier version of the new chapter so that when they do the big update, they all look like they get an improvement. Like, it makes no sense either. So we decided to just, you know, create a way to talk about it. So the whole Realm Beyond is our way to talk about all of these little improvements that we're going to do that all together will bring the game into next year, and to really make sure that people who start playing next year, they start playing on the next gen of platforms or whatever, the game that they will have does not look like it was made in 2016.
Right. I think a lot of folks overlook the fact that when we talk about a next gen upgrade, like, we're going to give you, if you have the base game, you're going to get the next gen one for free. when you compare those kind of games, you can see the improvement, albeit it's marginal. But when you look at a game like yours, it almost feels like it's what a Dead by Daylight 2 would have looked like. And you're getting it for free.
Yeah, yeah. We I mean, it's fun giving people it stuff is, right? for free. And people are super happy and they go, oh my God, that's awesome. And you go, yay, I did that. So yeah, it's amazing. That's why we do it.
What's been the most challenging aspect of The Realm Beyond so far?
It's so much work. It's so much work. No, but seriously, there's so much that goes into creating these environments. I think the environment upgrades have been where a lot of the work has gone. All these, you know, we talk about the maps being procedural and therefore we have so many maps created with so few props. That's not true. There's always those landmark objects. There's always one building. You know, if you have all the levels that are in the farmhouse, well, there's the farmhouse, and then there's that big combine harvester, and then there's the abattoir, and there's all these things. And each of these needs to become an amazing landmark because they're the only piece in there, more or less. When you're in the map with the farmhouse, it has to be the most amazing farmhouse. And the corn, I mean, you see so much corn, it has to look perfect. So the redoing all the geometry and the texturing of these things is incredibly labor intensive. So that's a huge part. I think the animation is also, well, it's dear to me. I started as an animator and I still have a bit of a sensibility to that. It's a lot of work. There are a lot of animations. We have so many characters and so many different characters in the game. Especially the killers mostly all use separate rigs. They all have their own kits, their own animation. It's a lot of work. But it's so worth it when you see. Like we had a little video play internally of just streamers' reactions to the new map. And it was so awesome seeing people who've played the game, literally, like these people play 8 hours a day, 6 days a week for years. And then they open the game and go, oh my God, what the hell is this? And they, especially like in the boiler room in Springwood, like people go nuts when they see this. And that feels really good.
Right, because they're living this game for, again, a huge part of their lives. And then they will notice the slightest little like, hey, that, there's a bookshelf there where it wasn't there before. Now we're talking about these massive changes. And I think the key word is immersion on a level never thought possible for a game.
That's always been sort of the operative word in our game. Mm-hmm. We're trying to create emotions. We're trying to create reactions. We're trying to put you into a frame of mind. We're trying to make you live things. And obviously, the more you can create an intense ambiance and an atmosphere that's deep and rich, the better it's going to be. So.
Yeah, I mean, the lighting alone is, I think...
It's gorgeous.
It does so much to make you feel like you're in this lived world. And it really jacks up the horror factor.
Yeah, before. I think so.
So I want to ask, because we're talking about this next-gen update... Have you looked into potentially like console specific features, like with the PS5, how it has its new 3D audio engine or the controller? Is that part of the conversation with regards to The Realm Beyond?
I'd say it's related, but it's not part of The Realm Beyond, because The Realm Beyond update and everything we put in there is something that's global. Mm-hmm. We want that to be something that everybody, no matter what platform you live on, this is something that's going to affect you. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that we're not looking at console-specific things. We are definitely making sure that, you know, just the way we did with Switch or mobile, it's the same game, but it's played on a very specific platform, and we wanted to make sure that we used it properly and that if you play on Switch, it's a Switch game. The same way that the next-gen consoles, we want to make sure that we use them properly and we make them shine as much as possible. But we're not including that under the Realm Beyond thing, just because the Realm Beyond is a global thing. It's universal. It's forever.
Yeah. what excites you most about this new generation of systems coming out? What do you think? What couldn't you do before that now seems like this is now totally plausible to do in our game?
It's funny because I'm probably not the right person to ask that question because it's very technical at this point.
Right.
I think in a certain way we've gone past the realm of consoles can't do that. Like there's very little that we're trying to do, let's say, and then the technical director is going to come in and go, yeah, you can't do that on a PS4. It's impossible.
Right.
That's not the conversation that we usually have. Mm-hmm. There are a few specific things that these new consoles do that are really, really cool and are pushing, the possibility. But I'm not exactly sure. It's like we were not banging our heads against a wall that is now suddenly open to us.
Okay, that's a fair way of putting it. Yeah, I feel like, you know, for a lot of people, they see these things as game changers in a sense. But for you guys, you've had the tools to make
what you want to make possible. I mean, it's going to allow us to push the game and to make it shine in ways that may not have been possible. But I think that these things are going to shine. When they show the tech demos, you know, or when they show the tech demo for Unreal 5, let's say. And you go, okay, you're going to be able to have a full environment that's as big as a city, and it's detailed to every single inhabitant is going to be able to have an independent AI. We're not going to do that in DVD. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see other games do it. Maybe we'll do that in other projects at Behavior. That's very possible. But yeah, it's not a technological breakthrough that's going to revolutionize Dead by Daylight.
So what is the roadmap looking like now for Realm Beyond?
Well, the next steps, every future update that we have will feature upgrades. So you'll see it. It's, as I said, it's going to be more of a progressive thing than just a big dump of new content. I don't think we've announced the next maps that are going to be. No, we have not. So new maps will be reworked. Okay. New characters will get better and things.
I can feel Marie's presence in the background.
But that's it. So, what you've seen so far is just the beginning of the improvements that we're making, but all the maps are going to get that treatment. We want to make sure that nothing is left behind. The character animations, you're going to see some improvements come in on that for sure. And anything new that we produce will have that quality bar for sure. I think I can leave it at that.
Right. I think that's the most exciting part. Like when you guys have a new chapter or a new killer coming out, it'll be in the
tell you new... we have a new chapter coming out.
Oh, good God.
Also, I can tell you that I've seen it.
Oh, boy. All right. So I know I can't ask you who it is for obvious reasons, but can you at least pinpoint, talking? You can if it's a game IP or a movie TV license.
Well, once you put it in Dead by Daylight, technically it becomes a game IP.
Oh, that's a nice way of getting around my question. So I know we'll never get the likes of that guy.
I don't see the corner you're pointing at.
Yeah, so I'm pointing at my little Jason plush toy.
Oh, okay. That's, I thought it was okay. Ron Exall, very famous.
That's steeped in legal bullshit forever. And we already got Freddy, who Freddy is above me, right up there. But right. What about Chucky? Yes, Chucky. Okay. He's got a Netflix show coming out next year at some point, maybe.
Why are you saying we're never going to get that guy?
I'm going to say you're never going to get it. I'm saying when you're going to get it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't answer that.
Because I think when we first met years back, I had mentioned to you, Chucky, it was like, hey, there's a movie coming out at some point in the next year or so, this reboot. You guys should capitalize on this. And you're like, I don't know. We'll see.
Like I said, Chucky is borderline, as in he's more comedy than horror. But then again, we have Ash Williams, so
right.
And one could argue he's more comedy than horror, but he's also legendary.
I think it depends. He is. Right, and I think it also depends on which Chucky films you're watching to True. Gauge. Because if the first handful have it's like strictly horror, and then at a certain point, you're no longer scared of the slasher. And
I think my favorite is probably Bride of Chucky.
Yes,
I just really like Jennifer Tilly in there. I think she's good.
On the idea of like Chucky having a wife. And
it's just funny.
And I'm also this is the chats I had with my older sibling about horror movies and logistics and lore. How does a doll grow a penis, which then is able to inseminate or impregnate another doll?
If that's the biggest logical hurdle you have for a boy coming to life, I think we're okay.
Well, you know, at a certain point, you think that's the given. This is now real. You suspend disbelief. Like, okay, Chucky's a thing. The voodoo curses exist. But how does it grow a dick? These are the burning questions.
Voodoo tends to be a very... sexuality is very important. Mm. Voodoo, therefore, I don't think a voodoo ritual would forget to add genitals.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in the... Like
if it was a Dungeons & Dragons spell, not include genitals. It might be a candle situation.
Right.
That's the candle situation. Right. But I think that voodoo might probably have that thought of adding genitals. That's my very uneducated guess.
So while on the note of, again, future chapters and characters, I know you probably get bombarded with some really good ideas for who to put in Dead by Daylight. What?
Some good ideas. Some. A lot of ideas.
I want to know what are some of the worst ideas you've ever heard?
Some of them actually came from us. I think Drake was probably a bad idea for a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Worse ideas
that you could possibly have, like
into really like niche horror stuff,
right?
You have some crazy, crazy scenarios. Right. I think probably the especially because Montreal has the Fantasia Festival, where you get to see all those wonderful horror movies that make no sense. So things like, for instance, Rubber. I don't know if you know of Rubber.
Okay, this is going to really show the audience what a huge horror nerd I am. That was about a tire that came to life and was killing people.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
So that is a very poor choice.
I watch garbage. I watch a lot of garbage.
It's okay. It's entertaining. You know,
it is. It really is.
So that's probably a bad one. Yeah.
Perhaps maybe a basket case could be a...
There's gingerbread there. Man that keeps coming back.
Oh, the gingerbread man, yeah, that could be another.
Jack Frost is also very bad.
Jack, well, that's seasonal. You know, it could be good for the holiday season.
Yeah, but then he stays. That's the problem. yeah.
Oh no, you could just do like pull a Nintendo. Just be like, we'll only have it for 2 months, and then it's gonna go away. You can pay us $60 for Jack Frost. He'll be there for. Only on Christmas Day.
our crowd. That's not what we do. You know, remember, we give free shit. We're generous. That's what we do.
You do. I have Steven in the chat telling me that Shrek would be a horrible character to include in Dead by Daylight.
Please tell Steven to stop talking.
You know, I've been trying.
I've been
trying to do that for a long time.
No, Shrek's not happening. Way too scary. Just way too scary.
What about
Donkey though?
Donkey could be a good choice.
As a survivor.
Right. Right.
He's just trying to fix the gen with his little hooves. Yeah, no, that's not okay.
Who do you feel has been the most requested character? Without saying like, oh, they're going to happen or not, but
I'd say probably Mr. Voorhees
popularity. Well, people need to let go of that. Never going to happen.
Why?
Why thing, it's embroiled in such legal mumbo jumbo.
He is an elusive fellow. I will give you that. But I'm grasping. But the most requested is definitely Jason. But besides that. There's a couple that float to the top. There's a couple. Candyman is definitely up there.
Mm-hmm. And again, new film coming out. It's a good marketing, tie-in for you guys. I'm sure you're well aware.
People have reminded me on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think one of our listeners, he lost his mind when the Candyman actor was following all the DVD accounts. And it was like,
we noticed.
What does this mean? Is this happening?
We had nothing to do with that. It was just a perfect timing thing to, troll the scent.
People, I think it was more like a sales pitch. Like, if I follow all these accounts, I can will it into existence of me being in the game.
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, boy. So, again, with Jason being a requested character, have you guys thought about how he would look like or work in your game? Is he, like, essentially...
We've had time to think about it in the last 5 years. We've had time to think about what he would look like. Yeah.
Mm. Oof. In that glorious Realm Beyond update, he would look so sexy. Mm-hmm. Just keep that sci-fi space Jason with the half cyborg look out of there. I mean, fans like that as a skin, but that
movie lately, and it is bad.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty bad. Space Jason is weird.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, we're going to wind down a little bit here and go into a rapid fire segment, part of the show.
I can do this.
Of course. I hope you're ready. This is high stakes for you. Now, I did have one question I wanted to ask you because we had this May, Dave come on the show. Dave Richard are also part of your team. And we had a list of questions that meant for you initially before Dave came on the show. And one of the weirdest questions I got was, what was the shirt you were wearing in the anniversary stream? Where did you get that shirt from? It was like a bluish sort of shirt.
Is it like a nice dress shirt?
It looked like a button down. Yeah.
Okay. So that's my nice shirt. I have one nice shirt.
A lot of hype for that shirt. So where did that shirt come from and where can you purchase it today?
I don't know. Let me just check.
This is the quality content, listener, you get on the show. Asking guests where they purchase their clothing from. Potential sponsor as well in the future.
This is the wonder of working from home.
Correct. So
that's the shirt. It's actually Old Navy.
Oh, wow.
There.
Old Navy, it's the new sponsor of the Dual Screens podcast. You hit it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what would it take for you to take off your existing shirt and put that one on?
It's the taking off that I have a problem with. Dave told me if I have to do nudity, I should blur my hands and feet and have people pay extra for that.
Listen, I'm pretty sure
all of it. I'm pretty innocent man.
Listen, I'm pretty sure a lot of folks are waiting for your OnlyFans page to go up any day now, Matthew.
I do not have one, but I will not put on the shirt. I keep it for special occasions like the anniversary or something. Correct. And we have one coming up. I'm not going to buy another shirt.
That's true. Look at you. All right. Rapid fire question. Let's go. Rapid fire. Yes. pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Fuck yeah.
Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Flight.
What adjective best describes you when you're drunk?
Oh, loud.
Peanuts or cashews?
Cashews.
If you found yourself in a Nancy Thompson scenario being chased by Freddy Krueger and you're setting up your own traps to evade him, what sort of traps would Matthew set up in that instance?
Wooden spikes.
Ooh, wooden spikes.
Sharpened wooden sticks.
What is the weirdest body part you shave?
Does it have to be on myself?
Are you shaving other people?
I'm just asking.
This is your, it's your answer. So answer how you feel like. If you feel like you want to say you've shaved someone else's balls, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you.
No, it's probably that bit here. There's a name for that little thing. It's just difficult, but I don't shave that many other things. So,
Is it okay to sleep with socks on?
Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. It's not
okay.
It's on a pineapple on pizza. Fuck yeah, but it's okay.
But sure.
Right. Yeah.
Yes,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I just read something the other day that said keeping your socks on is supposed to lead to better orgasms if you have sex.
Oh.
And the rationale behind is that it keeps your feet warm, so blood can go elsewhere. It doesn't need to stay in your feet to warm them up, and therefore blood can circulate and be elsewhere. So I guess it can help you sleep too. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, I really thought it would be me to bring up sex in this conversation, but I'm glad it came from you first. Oh yeah, but you're talking about orgasms.
I mean.
What is the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
There's so many. But I'll say that's stupider. So dressing up, and I was in a hurry. It was my first day as a bartender at a place called the Vampire Lounge, and I was getting ready, and I was late, and I jumped over a chair, which happened to be right under a door frame, and I hit my head and fell down and got knocked out for a couple of seconds. And then I rushed to go to work, and my friend who was there went, "No, you're going to the hospital because your head is bleeding." And I got 8 stitches on my head, and I was late for my first night at the Vampire Lounge because I had to get the stitches.
You know, it really makes you wonder, like, how much time could you have saved jumping over a chair? You made that bet in your head. If I jump over this chair, I'm going to be on time.
And, you know, I'm not the smartest person I know.
And
but I used to be much, much stupider when I was younger.
Sleeping bag or hammock?
Hammock, 100%. Mm.
What would your Animorph cover look like?
Oh, I wish I had the talent to draw it, but it would have to be a cat.
Mm. Yes, you are a cat person, after all.
Yes.
What was your last thought before going to bed last night?
It was about virtual reality.
Oh,
because I was falling asleep to the pleasant voice of Will Wheaton narrating Ready Player One.
Mm. You know, he was in some shitty horror film recently too. I saw it long ago. Yeah, it was like a Match.com thing. It was like a mail order by VHS finding a match for people. Okay. And he was like the guy that ran the company, and he was like stalking the guy that was using the service. It was really weird. Really bad.
I haven't seen that movie, but
he's in it. Again, I told you I watch garbage, so that's what happened.
I like Bill Wheaton.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Now, given that you live in a Canadian town, I may know the answer to this, but we'll take a shot. Would you rather have edible spaghetti hair that regrows?
Edible spaghetti hair that regrows, okay.
Mm-hmm. Or sweat maple syrup?
Oh, that's not a question. That's a given. It would be sticky. It would be unbearably sticky, but I don't care. Maple syrup all the way.
But oh, so worth it.
Oh, yeah. I would work out. That's how much I like maple syrup. I would work out.
Well, listen, we talked about your swole factor the last time you came on the show. So I think working out is
it's
a regular part of your lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's all accidental.
Of course.
I don't do anything for it.
If you've ever been in a fight, how did it go?
Poorly.
Mm.
I'm not a violent man by any stretch of the imagination, so I tend to try to rely on my big mouth.
Mm.
It it's not always
it sounds sufficient. About right. Which will get you in more trouble, I imagine.
That's happened. Yeah.
Then you can always run away, jump over a chair, yeah, and injure yourself, like that. And that's how the fight ends.
I do run fast. Sprinting is my talent.
Well, so when you make horror games for a living, you have to know how to run. That's how it's part of the deal. Would you rather be a reverse centaur or a reverse merman?
Oh, that's difficult. They're both very bad.
They are both very bad, yeah.
I think I'll take the centaur, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you could go into a soundproof room.
Reverse centaur is kind of a minotaur, right?
But more or less, yeah. It's the horse instead of the bull on top.
Yeah, okay.
Right. If you could go into a soundproof room, no cameras, no mics, what phrase would you scream at the top of your lungs?
It'd be, I don't know. The first thing that came to mind is fuck bucket, which is usually what I scream at. I think that phonetically it's kind of fun.
Right.
But I wouldn't scream something angry, I think. Mm. I'd probably be singing. Something by Dim I Be Giant or something.
Oh, but very nice.
Probably No Means No, because it's very intense music. So, yeah, okay.
What is your karaoke game like?
Oh, it's decent.
Decent.
I can carry a tune.
You can carry a tune?
I go for something like Frank Sinatra. Fly Me to the Moon or something like that.
You are the epitome of class, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So I think that's going to bring us to the end.
That's my favorite part, I have to say.
The end of you talking to me? Yeah, most people do agree that when they have to say bye to me, that's the best part of their day.
Okay. No, that's not it. Oh, come on.
Self-deprecating humor. All right, Matthew, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Of course, always a pleasure. Where can people find everything about Dead by Daylight? Do the whole PR spiel, sell it all, and where can we all go?
You can get Dead by Daylight on every self-respecting platform right now. There's a few non-respecting platforms that are waiting for us to come to them any minute now. No, seriously, we're pretty much everywhere, and we're working on the rest. Probably not. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. We're trying to be everywhere. You should probably look. If you want to have more information, the Dead by Daylight official website carries all the information we have on everything. Follow us. I'm supposed to point things. Is that it? Oh, no, we don't do that. We do that in 2016.
Sure, yeah.
Subscribe and like. We have a very active community team that makes sure all the information is on Twitter. It's on the official website. Also, it's in the game. When you boot the game and you click, the news pop up and you get all the different news. Every 3 months we get a new chapter, so we're due for a new one soon. We have archives in the meantime. There's so much lore coming to Dead by Daylight, so much of that story to be told, and we are finding new and interesting ways to tell you more of that story every day.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew, once again, thank you so much. Marie, thank you for being in the background there and just keeping
Matthew. I feel safer when she's there, even
you know
if
what? So do I. Can I hire her just to be around the house when I go to bed? Just like
unavailable. Unavailable.
God damn it.
Sorry.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. This has been great.
Anytime. And I expect you to come in and ask us again in a couple of weeks, months, or not too far. Okay?
Oh, my God. Yes,
of course. I'll be right here.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
I might wear my shirt next time.
Oh, yeah. I'll go shirtless. That's how excited I'll be for that.
Okay. I'll hold you to that.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.